And as promised, we are in conversation with Francois Rogers, the KZN provincial leader. Welcome to the studio. Lovely to have you on 88FM, ahead of your gathering tonight at the Umhlali Country Club. Well, later this afternoon, 5 o'clock, I believe. Francois, tell us the reason behind the Unite, Rebuild and Protect leadership tour at this juncture.
Good afternoon, Dave, and good afternoon to your listeners. Good to be in Ballito. Good to be down this part of the world, a long way from my home, which is Kokstad. Obviously, as provincial leader, I'm leading the campaign running into the municipal election, which is on the 1st of November. So this is part of my tour across the entire province. And this is one of my stops in this area. And obviously, I'll be putting out our manifesto for the local government election this evening. And I look forward to engaging with the local residents.
What are some of the issues that you're going to be concentrating on? Obviously, it's very short notice, but because the election is in, what, fewer than 5 weeks' time. But we've had several opportunities to interface with local hopeful ward candidates. And it would appear that the Democratic Alliance obviously has a couple of traditional seats in the area, but there are new kids on the block that are champing at the bit and making a play, shall we say, for a new deal. And I think it's a situation where we have been for many years waiting for a new deal, because what has happened is quite obvious to everyone. We've been devolving politically and socially and economically for the past 20 odd years, if not longer, and it's time for change. But the question arises now, well, if we continue to do what we've always done, we're going to get what we've always got. And in this area, there is a very clear ANC majority and then a slightly smaller Democratic Alliance opposition. Is that going to change?
Dave, I certainly believe it will. I think you're right. After 27 years of democracy, one would have expected far more from local government. It's where the rubber hits the road, and it's where service delivery is experienced by the majority of our people and the majority of our people that live below the poverty line. I think that's the biggest challenge. I think Cyril Ramaphosa himself, when they released the ANC manifesto a couple of weeks ago, I think he started off by saying, we've got it wrong, give us another chance and we'll get it right. I don't believe they will get it right. I don't believe that after 27 years they can get it right. And the problem with local government is it's been so infiltrated with corruption, cadre deployment, poor cadre deployment, that we find ourselves in the situation where people have sometimes not even got the basic of service deliveries. Mm-hmm. I was in Stanger today, went to certain areas in Stanger, where I must say it's diabolical. You know, people living literally an old granny living in a tin shack that she's living with her two grandchildren. And she's been promised an RDP house. She was in fact allocated an RDP house, got the necessary documentation, yet the house was allocated to somebody else. So that just shows how corruption has infiltrated itself, and I saw that for myself today.
Yes, and you've done what I believe the DA has done extraordinarily well for the past 20 years, possibly longer, and that's pointed out what the problems are, but we kind of know what the problems are. One would have thought that having now gone through the disaster of the current incumbent leadership and the policies that have created the situation that we find ourselves in, one would have thought reasonably that it would have been ideal for the Democratic Alliance as the official opposition to have made huge headway under the circle. I mean, you've just pointed out one example of, there are hundreds of malfeasance, etc. What is wrong with South Africa?
Well, you know, I think the Democratic Alliance also talks from experience. Where we govern, we believe we've made a difference. I think we must also make it clear that we don't always get it right, but we do a damn sight better than the ANC does in their governments.
And surely, that's right. But then what is wrong with the voter? What is wrong with South Africans? Why are we still in a situation where the problems are obvious? It's easy to point out. It's like low-hanging fruit, and it makes people feel firstly furious and then powerless, because Yes, we know there are problems, but who is going to stand up and fix them? Now, I would have thought that the official opposition's position would have been, we are here to fix those problems, and we have fixed them where we can, and we will fix them where we can. But what you do thunders so loud, I can't hear what you say, is often the retort. So what is your response to that?
Well, Dave, you know, I think it's convincing voters, first of all. And I think if one looks at the socio-economic disparities in our country that haven't been addressed in 27 years, I believe that it's an underwritten policy by the ANC to keep people suppressed, because you can manipulate voters who are uneducated, and you can convince them that through social grants, through housing, through various other aspects, if they don't vote for the ANC, there's going to be no change. But again, I need to refer you back to the Western Cape, where we were given an opportunity to govern, firstly in a fragile coalition, and then moved on where we governed the city of Cape Town, governed it outright. And the message has spread that where we govern, we can do things, we can get things right, and we can get the basics right. And that spread across the province of the Western Cape. And we hope to roll that out in the province of KwaZulu-Natal on the 1st of November. When we wake up on the 2nd of November, I believe that we're going to govern the municipality of Mgeni, which is Hilton Howick, just outside Maritzburg. We're 9% away from bringing the ANC to below 50%. We've got a dynamic young mayor candidate there, Christopher Pappas. And I think if we're given that opportunity to roll out what we rolled out in the Western Cape, we can convince voters that, in fact, we're a party that stands by its talk and delivers on the services.
I'm just going to jump right in. You know, you mentioned voter manipulation with the ANC. Do you think the recent incident with the DA posters that went up in Phoenix, it was a political strategy for the DA to garner the support of the Indians, knowing there's such a strong racial tension that's happening in that area at the moment? I mean, 36 people lost their lives during the unrest. Do you think it was a very smart strategy for the DA to put something like that up at the key site in Phoenix?
Well, I think one needs to first of all look at the statement that was made yesterday or the day before, which was made by the provincial chairperson of our province, where he admitted that this didn't go through party structures. It was a task he took upon himself, and he apologized for the insensitivity, if some people found it insensitive. And we obviously removed the posters. I certainly don't like to play race-baiting politics, but I think we must also look at the context. You know, I serve in the provincial legislature as the leader of the Democratic Alliance, and I'm called a racist on a daily basis by the ANC, openly. It's really the type of debate that I don't believe we need to get involved in. It's a debate that nobody wins. And ultimately, as I say, you know, if you wrestle with a pig in the mud eventually wins.
Yeah, I know, but it was a debate because they used the race issue. I mean, it was very clear and blatant. Are you saying that nobody in the KZN leadership of the DA were aware that these posters had been printed? Because the DA said, you know, that there were 100 posters, you know, the double posters were earmarked for around Durban, 100 of them were going to be going up.
Well, I don't base myself in the provincial office. For the last 26 days I've been on the road, so I certainly don't watch what's being printed in the office. So if you're asking me if I was aware of the campaign, no, I was not aware of the campaign. And I was only aware once I saw it in social media.
Okay.
Look, I think it's sort of an unfortunate. It's a typical opportunity for political one-upmanship. You know, I think the intention in that entire saga was fairly obvious, and I don't think there was an intention to incite some sort of racial backlash. It's being used as a political football.
Yeah.
Anything like that is likely to, and I think one should possibly move on from that because, yeah, apologies have been made and the right decision has been implemented. The posters are down. But I wanted to get... We can't really avoid the issue of race because it's a burning one. And one talks about the Democratic Alliance as having almost unfettered raceless policy, and yet race plays a very significant part in identifying the Democratic Alliance across the board as a kind of white-dominated or certainly white-supported party against black South Africa. And it's not the case. I know that's not the case, but certainly that is the zeitgeist. That is the common understanding. What have you done as a party to break that paradigm?
Dave, I think it's a narrative that's driven by the ANC and that's picked up by the media. Let me give you an example why I don't believe it has any effect on me or on my province. I was elected as leader at the beginning of this year, where 60% of the voting delegates were isiZulu-speaking delegates. Now, when I get asked, you know, the DA is still electing white leaders, does that then mean that even though the majority of our leaders are not, of our voters are not white, our delegates, that I should pull back? I don't believe that's the fact. We believe in fit for purpose, and if I get the support from the majority of delegates who happen to be black, well, to me it shows democracy at work.
More meritocracy than democracy, in a sense, I would imagine, is accurate. But we get back to the issue of what is wrong with South Africa, because clearly the ruling party has let the majority of South Africans down badly and continues to this moment to do so, even though there is now moves afoot because the elections are on the horizon to address the notion of service delivery. Nothing really has changed or is likely to. And yet the voters still continue to line up at the polling booths and make their marks where they are used to. Surely there's got to be some kind of change of approach to educate people, even if they are not formally educated, but to simply bring the facts of life to bear on where we are in time and space.
Dave, you know, I think, the ANCs are masters at campaigning.
But is the Democratic Alliance then not?
We don't use government to campaign for elections. We don't use government resources to campaign for elections. If you just look in our province at the moment, you look at the great projects that are being rolled out by Sihle Zikalala, water projects in Ikopo. Now, I come from that area. There's no water project being rolled out there. To me, that's opportune. You look at the food parcels. You look at social development projects being rolled out. The new highway in eThekwini was just unveiled. I mean, that project was completed a year and a half ago. You know, and unfortunately, I think a lot of our voters are easily swayed and are easily captured by little things.
But surely in the age of technology, use the Bill Pottinger example of how to manipulate in that situation, completely the wrong reason. But if you wanted to create a situation where you needed to, and you do need to convince a huge number of people that are obviously misled, that they are going in the wrong direction, and you have genuine solutions, and this is the answer, surely, in the age of technology that we find ourselves with, almost everyone connected to a smart device of some kind, even the poorest of the poor, there should be an active strategy in place now, because you're playing by the rules. Clearly, your competition or opposition isn't.
All right, Dave, let me also just give you what I believe part of the problem is that You find the situation where I engage with ANC voters, fundamental principle ANC voters, and you try and convince them. They're not comfortable. They feel uncomfortable with the DA. They've never seen the DA work. And I do a lot of work in rural areas. I speak fairly fluent isiXhosa, so it does help me. What I'm seeing on the ground is people, instead of finding a new political home, they're starting to say, "Ngege, I'm not voting for the ANC again."
But that's a huge problem. People now, voter apathy is possibly even worse than people voting for opposition parties.
Well, it gives us an opportunity, because if ANC, you know, fundamental ANC supporters are feeling unhappy and they'd rather stay at home then it creates all sorts of opportunities for us to get out our voters and ensure that because of that factor in the ANC, we can gain the growth.
It also presumably plays in the same way for the EFF and other extremely radical racist parties. And one can use that term quite, I think, comfortably with the EFF having proven themselves time and again to be extraordinarily racist in many of their declared policies. There is a question I want to ask you about coalition, because that has certainly been bandied about as the future of politics in South Africa. A coalition with a party like the EFF, would that ever be on the cards?
Dave, on a lighter note, pigs will fly before we go into any coalition with the EFF. We burnt our fingers in Tshwane, as you know, and that will never happen again. We would certainly never, ever consider any sort of memorandum of understanding or coalition government with the EFF. We would certainly look at other political organizations that have a like-minded principle and policy, and we would certainly consider that. And, you know, it may well happen in eThekwini. The ANC are vulnerable at the moment with the divisions in eThekwini and the ANC, so the opportunity there may arise, but obviously we'll cross that bridge when we get to it.
In principle, though, is coalition on the cards with other potential parties?
There's no formal discussions at this stage. We would only formalise that once the results were made known.
And the reason I ask that question is because there are those that are considering, no doubt, and looking quite closely at other parties in the set and thinking, well, I was a DA supporter, but I rather like what this particular party is saying, and maybe if I put my vote in that block, it's going to create some kind of new deal. Is that not going to harm the Democratic Alliance because they might go into these are the questions that are being bandied about. What is your suggestion?
You know, I think we must take some lessons from Helen Ziller when it comes to coalition governments. She's got amazing experience in the city of Cape Town and in the Western Province government. And I think the most important thing is if you go into a coalition as the minority, then you're going to have problems. So coalition governments to us, if we're in the majority and we need to bring on board somebody to try and take over that municipality, we would do it based on those principles.
Penny, do you have anything else to add?
I'm just, as you're talking about the coalitions, I know, you know, after the November elections, November the 1st, a National Assembly is going to have the bill, the land expropriation bill that will be discussed. Obviously, you know, the ruling party is seeking to amend the constitution to allow land without expropriation. However, the bill needs a two-third majority. Is that a quite a precarious position at the moment? The EFF obviously has withdrawn because they don't want any land to be expropriated. They believe land should be state-owned. You know, so the DA and the Freedom Front have come out against the bill. Do you believe that it's something that we are going to be facing in the next few months?
Look, you're talking in a field that I'm not an expert on. Okay. I don't serve in the National Assembly. Yeah. I serve in the provincial legislature. But let me tell you that we certainly have made it very clear that we don't believe in expropriation without compensation. In my opinion and my understanding, the fact that the ANC and the EFF are not united on how they want to proceed with this bill, I don't believe it'll get the two-thirds majority.
I know the government has said that free homes are no longer financially viable, and it has. I mean, they've got a 3 million rand, 3 million housing backlog. Do you think your housing policy is aggressive enough? Because I think housing is one of the big key issues in our province at the moment.
Well, absolutely, and I think housing must be done on a fair and equitable basis. As I told you the story of what I saw in Stanger today, I think the minute you bring politics into the environment of housing, you invite corruption and you invite nepotism into that situation. And I think it must be kept clear of that so that everybody has an equal opportunity. And you're quite right. I think housing, again, what I saw today, is critical. But we must also, as a government, realize that we have limitations. To go out and promise people houses willy-nilly also makes people disheartened, and you get the negative attitude that we do on the ground people saying, the ANC have promised us this, they promised us that, you know, we just don't want to vote. So I think we've got to be very careful that we don't use that as a tool or a wedge to garner votes.
We've been in conversation with Francois Rogers, who's the KZN provincial leader, ahead of a gathering at Umhlali Country Club tonight or this afternoon around about 5 o'clock. If you have questions that you would like to pose to him directly, you're invited to be there. But just a final question, Francois. Your leadership tour is called Unite, Rebuild and Protect. What are you rebuilding and where are you uniting and what are you protecting?
Dave, that came out of the week of anarchy that we saw in the province. I mean, I don't think KwaZulu has ever hit a low as it did. I think you also had some problems here. I was on the ground with John Steenhuisen in the hotspots in Durban, in Pietermaritzburg, up the south coast and north coast. And I just think what we saw on the ground was people uniting, standing together to protect their loved ones, to protect their property, and to protect the environment. And it was people from all walks of life. And I think that indicates that as South Africans, when we put in a corner and on the spot, we can unite, we can stand together, and we can rebuild and protect ourselves. And that's where the campaign was birthed, if you like to call it.
It's a good campaign, and it's very appropriate, very apt under the circumstances. And obviously, with just a couple of weeks to go before local elections, you might be listening to this and considering your options. You might be tempted at this juncture to possibly stay away from the polling booths because, well, you know, nothing's going to change. And I think that if there is one message to take away from this conversation, don't be complacent, because by being complacent and staying away, you're simply strengthening the hand of the current incumbents that are doing as much damage to the economy, the country, the society that we love, as is possible under the circumstances. And things have got to change. They will only change if you get up and make your mark. We're not suggesting you have to make your mark, because we're talking to the Democratic Alliance in that block, although I'm sure that Francois would love you to. But we are suggesting that you need to get up and do what people have given their lives for in the past, to exercise your democratic right in the country that we love so much. The time is now. And I thank you, Francois, for what you're doing and for having spent some time with us in the studio. As I say, tonight at the Umhlali Country Club, or this afternoon, 5 o'clock, there's an opportunity for you to meet with Francois and ask the questions that you would like answers for if we haven't asked them. And I wish you strength on the Unite, Rebuild and Protect leadership tour.
Thank you very much, Dave, and to your listeners. It's been a pleasure being in your neck of the woods.
And there we leave it for the moment. You're on the afternoon show on 88 FM. Here's Pat Benatar.